About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I received a text from Brother Zach and asking me if I could preach this afternoon. And I said, sure, I enjoy preaching. I enjoy preaching the Word of God. Before I start my sermon, I want to ask the congregation, like Brother Brown says, of the saints. This is what I do every day. I pray for the church here every day. I pray for all my brothers. I especially pray for the elders, our deacons, and our preacher. But this morning, Brother Zach came up here and told us that the situation he was in. And I asked myself, would it be wrong for me this afternoon to say a prayer for Brother Zach? And not only Brother Zach, but his family, of what they're going through at this time. But now I'm going to ask the church, our brothers and sisters, that as they pray tonight, as they pray tomorrow, as they pray from here on, to ask our Lord and Savior about the family of Brother Zach, the Teasleys, especially Brother Zach. So just remember that in your prayers when you pray tonight, when you pray for the church, pray for Brother Zach. Sometimes when we're hurting in one way or another, and this is what's great about the church, we can always go to our brothers and sisters and ask them to pray for us. And I want to start this afternoon my sermon with a prayer in reference to the Brother Zach and all the family. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, first of all, grateful because you are our Father, and without you, we are nothing in this world. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the family, the Teasley family. Help them go through what they're going through. Help Brother Zach as he goes through the things that he's going to have to go through. The doctors, the medicine, and everything involved with him, dear Lord. Because we know that he worries about us, the church. And we need him here to help us and to guide us, just as we need the other elders. Heavenly Father, again, we ask you for the Teasley family, for you to bless them, for you to keep them, so they can continue on. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, this morning, Brother Brown, I asked Brother Brown because he said, because I heard that he was going to preach about Christ when he was a little boy. And I asked him, are you going to talk to him, to us about when he was a little boy, when he started out? And he said, no. And he didn't. But you know, he talked to us about Christ when he was in the temple. When he was there with all the people from Jerusalem, the scholars, and he was teaching them. And the last part of the verse that he taught us was in the last part when he says, and Christ grew in wisdom. It's 259. I'm going to paraphrase it. He grew in wisdom, a stature before man and God. That's the Christ I want to talk to you all about this afternoon. The Christ that grew up. The Christ that paid for our sins, which we could not pay. It is a debt that we have that the only one that could take it away from us was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the one I want to talk to you all about. You know, my sermon, I've always put a little verse there for my sermon. It's, how about you? But let me tell you something. When I say, how about you, and I'm going to tell you up front, I've already asked this question of myself, I don't know how many times. Because when my wife typed this sermon, it was just pretty, real pretty like. But after I kept studying and studying, and I have red ink on it, black ink on it, and I don't know what other kind of things I have on it that I've added to it. Because the more you study the Word of God, the more you learn. And the more you learn, the more you grow, and the more you do. So every time this afternoon when I say, how about you? I always tell you, when I point one way, that way, I've got three pointed at me. I've already asked myself this question too many times. I'm going to talk about some of y'all. I told Brother Adam this morning, I'm going to talk about you tonight. He said, really? I says, yes, I am. Yes, I am. And at the same time, I'm going to talk about Haley. I didn't get a chance to tell her that. But I'm going to talk to her about her this afternoon too. You see, we have to ask ourselves, do I want to go to heaven or not? That's a personal question that you and I have to ask ourselves daily. And what am I doing to go to heaven? We know that Christ paid the price. There's no question about that. Christ paid the price. But what am I, what are you doing to maintain yourself in Christ so that we can all be together in heaven with Christ? That's why, what about you? I want to go to heaven. And this morning, Brother Brown touched some of my verses, but I do want to go to Matthew chapter 7. And these are very important questions that we have to ask ourselves. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, and then 21 through 23. Because we have to investigate ourselves to see where we are at. And it says this way, Matthew 7, 13, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go by it. At one time in our lives, we were going through this wide road. We were going through there. And then Christ says, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. There are few to find it. So this afternoon, I want to preach to you and ask you, what are you doing for your own salvation? Where do you stand before God? Have you found that narrow road that leads to heaven? And then after you find it, are you maintaining yourself there to get to heaven? That's why I say, what about you? Investigate yourself. Remember when God asked Adam and Eve, where are you? That same question is being asked this afternoon. Where are you? If Christ came today, where would you be? And like I told you, every time I use that word you, I'm asking myself that same question. Where are you now? If Christ came today. So we have to go and find and understand that Christ is knocking at our door. We know that famous verses like Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. Here I am at the door. I am knocking, and I'm paraphrasing it. Are you going to open that door? If you open it, you find salvation. Christ comes in, he stays there, and he continues there until you let him be there. Remember that. I don't know how many are visitors, and I know most of the members. You know, I've been here about, I want to say 15, 20 years. I don't even know how long I've been here. And I don't know all the members, but I know the majority of them. But if you are a visitor, or like they say here, a guest, where are you tonight? If Christ is knocking at your door, are you going to answer it? Or you, my brother and sister, are you continuing on the road to heaven? Are you maintaining yourself on the road to heaven? You know, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. That is my point in my life now. At one time, I didn't care, but now I want to go to heaven. Look at what Paul tells the Philippians in chapter 3. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may conform to his glorious body according to the working in which he is able to subdue all things to himself. I just thought about this right now. I'm very happy that the Lord is going to help me with my body, or transform my body into a heavenly body. You see where Albert is at? Let me tell you why I asked Albert to do that for me. I've been having a lot of problems with my leg. My family tells me, look at Dad, don't forget your third leg. Don't forget your third leg. And I told Albert, brother, I'm going to go up there. Hopefully I can finish my sermon. But just in case I can't, on my way down those stairs, if I ask you to help me, be ready. I don't know if Albert can carry me down, but he's going to be in trouble if he doesn't. But what I'm trying to get to y'all is this. Do we want to go to heaven like this? I mean, some of y'all have a tremendous body, real strong, and I mean to tell you, some of us want to pretend we're real strong and we're not. So, and then some of us are, hurting. We're hurting. So we need some change. We need to put our hands or put everything into Christ and let him prepare us for that heavenly place that he has prepared for us. You know, this is something beautiful. Christ is going to transform our body into the likeness of his body. So think about that. But my main concern tonight is, where are you at? You know, I told you I was going to talk about Adam and Haley. Last Sunday they got baptized, which is great. Which is great. But I told them this, both of them. I says, baptizing yourself into Christ is fantastic. It's great. If you maintain yourself faithfully until the end, you're going to go to heaven. It's not just starting as a Christian. It's finishing as a Christian when we get all the benefits from Christ. So think about this. Our Lord wants us to go to heaven. And we should want to go to heaven too. And we should press. Do everything that is possible. You know, some of you all know Carlos. He's my little grandson. That little boy's started to be a real smart little kid. But he didn't realize it, but he gave me a great compliment the other day. I told him, mijo, I don't know how to read what you read. I don't know how to study what you study. And this is what he told me. Yeah, dad, or grandpa. Yeah, grandpa, but you know the Bible. And you know, that is important, to know the Bible, to study it daily, to feed our soul so that we know where we stand if Christ comes today. It's important. It's important. And I love what the Lord promises to us. I'm going to talk, first of all, when you become a Christian, I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter, I lost my sermon. Romans chapter 8, and let's start at verse 31. And we're going to read through 39. But I want you to look at this. We are conquerors in Christ. We have all the help that we need. So let's read verses 31 through 39 of Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Think about that. If God is for us, who can be against us? There's nothing in this world that can help or can destroy us if we are confident in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at what God did for us. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all us, how shall he not with him so freely give us all things? Who shall charge against God's elected? It is God who justifies. You know, I read that and I get all the confidence. You might condemn me, but the Lord doesn't condemn me. He helps me. He guides me. He protects me. And you know why? Because he did not even spare his own son. He did not spare his own son. He let his son suffer. I always want to say, and this is just my personal opinion, in the Bible it says that it got dark a certain time when Christ was on the cross. And this is what my opinion is of that. I want to say that Christ didn't want to see his son going through what all that he did to pay for the sins that we had. He paid the price. Which one of us would want to see his son go through a lot of suffering? We would take his place. And I know y'all might have a son that is hurting in one way or another. And I've asked the Lord, let me go through that instead of him or them. So imagine being all powerful, having all the power in the universe, and let his son suffer so that you and I could be with him one of those days. Think about that. Think about that. And it says in verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God elected? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, has risen, who is even at the right hand of God, and who makes intercessions for us. Imagine that. Christ is there. And I always say this. God the Father, Christ the God, and the Holy Spirit are there helping us, guiding us, or trying to do what's best for us as long as we allow it. So we have to do our part. It's like I told Albert this morning in the study. Salvation is conditional. Think about that. Lord tells you, do your part, you be faithful, and I am faithful. I always say the Lord will walk 1,000 miles for you if you take the last step yourself. But do your part. And then verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are all killed all day long, and we are accounted as sheep to the slaughter, or for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We can conquer because we have Christ on our side. That's why I told Adam and Haley, it's just starting as a Christian. Finish. A lot of us have been here a lot of years. I remember when I first got here, sometimes I don't even remember my name. But this brother told me, I've been a Christian for 70 years. 70 years. And I know for a fact that some of us have been Christians for 40, 50 years. And we're still here. We're still trying to be as faithful as possible to continue on safely on the way home. We are doing our part. But everyone, every individual has to do their part to get to heaven. You cannot buy salvation. Christ already paid for it. But you have to do your part. And then Paul says, inspired by the Holy Spirit in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, every Sunday we remember the communion of the Lord. Every Sunday. He paid the price. He paid the price, and it's up to us. It's up to us. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about Christ. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk a lot about Christ. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6, it was a prophecy of what was going to happen. The prophecy started in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That's where it started. But in Isaiah 9, 6, look at what it says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That is who our Savior is. And around the year 33, he paid for that price. He paid for that privilege. And he is our Savior. Someone might say, look at what they did to Jesus. He was weak. They crucified him. But I want you to go to the book of John. John chapter 18. John chapter 18, and I want you to read verses 4 through 6. And this is when Judas betrayed Christ. He came at it and with a kiss, but betrayed him. Look at what he says there. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things, this is our Christ. He knows all things. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what I'm thinking right now. That's where that question comes. How about you? He says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, who are you seeking? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am him. I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Imagine that. Imagine this. When they came after Christ, the only reason they took Christ was because he led them. Because when he said, I am he, the Bible tells us that they went back and fell to the ground. So just by speaking, they fell to the ground. That's how powerful our Lord and Savior is. You know, I was looking for it, but I know y'all know about this one, but I might add a little bit to the word, and I might take a little bit from the word. I used to know it. But you know, as you grow older, you forget certain things. I don't remember if it was 10 legions or 12 legions that Christ said, I could call them, and they could come and save me. But he didn't call nobody. He had already spoken to his Father in Gethsemane when he asked his Father three times, is there any way that you can let this go by? Or what he was asking him was this, is there any way that you can save this world without me having to go through all the pain, all that he went through? He was telling him, please do it. And I'm paraphrasing this. Three times he went and talked to his Father. Is there any way? And the Father's answer was, no. You have to pay the price. You know why? Because I want all the Christians that are going to obey the gospel later on in time to be with us forever. And if we maintain ourselves faithfully until the end, we will be with him forever. And when we're there, we can thank him. As a matter of fact, we can thank him now. Anything we're going through, we can, you know, sometimes we go through bad things in this life. But you know, when we go through bad things, we edify, we learn, we progress, we continue on safely. Because we depend on our Lord and Savior to guide us, to make sure that we're going the correct way. It's like a parent. I have a daughter, and she used to tell me, Dad, don't love me so much. Don't love me so much. Because I used to spank her, it seems like every day. I would tell her, Mija, it's because I love you. And sometimes, I mean, the Lord has to spank us too, because he loves us. So think about that. But people will say, oh, he was weak. But Jesus set all the other things against him. But let me tell you something, and I don't have very much time. But let me tell you something, or let me give you some qualifications of Christ. He claimed to know all things. We read that in a verse a while ago. He claimed to know all things. He raised people from the dead. He healed the sick. He calmed the sea. He walked on water. He cast out demons. Any fear that a person would have, he would help. He raised the dead. And then, after he died and was raised and went to heaven, and I'm going to use this word, 40 days after he resurrected, 10 days later, which is 50 days, that's when the Holy Spirit came and the church began. But that's the Christ that we have. So if we want to go to heaven, let's encourage ourselves. I want you to go to Job chapter 14, Old Testament. Job chapter 14. Verse 1. Man who is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Think about that. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. How long do we have to live? I don't know. Next year in May, and I'm not telling you this because I want presents. I'm going to be 79 years old. 79. I never thought I would be 79. But the Holy Spirit tells us through Job, man or woman is born for a few days and full of troubles. And they're not wrong. And the majority of those troubles, we make ourselves. We make ourselves. But there's a way out. The Lord has given us a way out, and that is through Christ, by obeying Him, by going to heaven, by being loyal till the end. I mean, I want to go to heaven. Remember what Christ said? Let's go to John 14. I've got a few minutes. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's speaking to the Christians. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. I want to go to this place. I want to go to heaven. How about you? And then the question, what am I doing to go to heaven? Am I doing my part? Am I putting an effort to go to heaven? See, it's not just wanting something. What am I going to do to try to get it? You know, Christ is promising us and telling us, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he says, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, or he's telling you, I'm not lying to you. I would not have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you also will be. Think about that. That's a great invitation from our Lord and Savior to all the Christians. He's going to prepare a place for us in heaven. He's coming for us one of these days. And let me tell you something. There's no other way but through Christ that you can get to heaven. I don't care what nobody tells you. The only way to heaven is through Christ. Because look at what verse 6 says. Jesus said to him, referring to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Think about that. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you want to go to heaven? Follow Christ. He is the only way. He is the only way. Without Christ, we are nothing in this world. As a beginning, I told you, I don't know all of y'all, if y'all are Christians or not. But here's the plan of salvation. You have to hear the word. Romans 10:7. You have to believe the word. Hebrews 11:6. You have to repent of your sins. You have to confess Christ as your Savior. Romans 9:10, 9 and 10. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And the beautiful verse that says, be faithful until the end. Revelation 2:10. So the decision is yours. How about you? What are you doing? What are you going to do with Christ?